Today I'm going to talk about pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. Now, this has been so misunderstood. The world uses this as well. They'll say things like, you know, if you've got a lot of problems right now, just pick up your cross. If you don't like your marriage, he's your cross to bear. If you don't like your neighbor, that's your cross to bear. You know, it's just a very negative term, which means, you know, just suck it up, little boy. You know, just bear your cross. But that is absolutely wrong. And so let's dive into this, and let me show you the incredible things Jesus is saying when he literally means pick up your cross. Because a cross was only meant for one thing, die. So when you pick up a cross, it's going die. It's not suffer, it's die. Now, when you die, what are you dying to? Basically, what I'm going to show you in the next few minutes is you are dying to any version of you and every version of you that is not the true image of God for you. When you pick up your cross, Jesus is telling you, die to the wrong version of you. Die to that old self. When you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you must recognize that old you is dead. And every version of you, your dad's version, your mom's version, your coach's version, your secret version, your embarrassed version, who you think you are because of addictions and failures and things you're struggling with, we all have an identity, a piece of it. And when you pick up your cross, you are to die to every version, every downside, everything that is not who God says you are. So to pick up your cross is an incredibly exciting, phenomenal. When I get done this message and someone says, pick up your cross, it's not going to be, keep suffering, sucker. It's going to be, come on, that's not who you are. This is who God has made you to be. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 and 26, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Pick up a cross. Deny yourself. Now, other people in Christianity believe that when you deny yourself, that you got to stay poor, powerless, no influence, a nobody, just wandering around this world like a vagabond. Deny yourself everything. That's not what it's saying. Jesus didn't do that. The disciples didn't do that. This denying yourself is denying your old self. It's denying the self that you were before you gave your life to Christ. Deny that person. Deny their fears, their problems, their habits, the things that have stuck to you as though you are your problems. You are your addiction. You are all the messes that you've seen, been, and done. That's who you are. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. But you've got to wrap your brain around this. Picking up your cross is dying to the old you, flawed you, bad you, et cetera, et cetera. Die to it, and then you rise up with new life in the new you. Let me show you a couple verses about the cross. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. I think they've got it for the screen. And here's what it says. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, look at what it says here. There has been made peace. And the word is having made, past tense. Jesus has made peace between you and God. And it's through his blood. So you don't have to worry and freak out and, well, you know, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm struggling with. I'm going, okay, well, that's actually not the issue. Because peace has been made, and it's been made through the cross of Jesus. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. If you were to put a real list together of what an idiot you are, if I was to put a list together of what an idiot I am, if we were to put a list together of every dumb thing we've said, every dumb thing we've done, every horrible thing we've committed, the stuff that we've hurt others, if we put a list together, those would be the ordinances against us. Now, the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, his blood has made peace between you and God. It goes on further in this verse in Colossians to say that it has blotted out the handwriting, the keeping track of everything you've done wrong, everything that you've been, the hurt, the heartache. I mean, there's stuff that people do they don't ever want anyone to ever know. Okay? And the Bible is saying that it's been tracked and it was nailed to the cross. Now, how could it be nailed to the cross? Because this is talking about billions of people. So we know it wasn't an actual nail and someone put an actual paper and nailed your junk to the cross that way. No. What he's saying here in the spirit world, where God knows everything, where there is no shadow of turning, no yes, it's either yes, yes, or no, no. So all the things have been nailed to the cross, and they have been blotted out. Why is this important? Because when we say, pick up your cross, we are saying that you've been crucified with Christ. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He's basically saying, if you have to keep laws for God to accept you, love you, and have you in his family, then what a waste. Pick up your cross. What does that mean? It means you better start believing what Jesus has done and now who you are. You better start believing that every dumb thing, every stupid thing, every sinful thing has literally been nailed to the cross and blotted out, gone. Bible says as far as the east is from the west. Why is this so crucial? Because there's no way you're going to experience God's love. There's no way you're going to know how you can do great things for God if you in any way think something you have done, something that you are, something that you are weak in, whatever. There's no way you're going to sense God's love. Because these ordinances are coming at you. And they come out of your own heart. These issues of, well, I know that I'm not that smart. I failed every topic. I know that I struggle with that sin that so easily besets me. I know that I've got this. I know I am not doing what God wants me to do. I fall short of doing anything great. I'm not great. I'm a loser. Like whatever the identity is that you have embraced, been taught, been told by religion, by parents, by coaches, by your peers at school, wherever, whatever this identity is that you have adopted, when Jesus says, pick up your cross, he's meaning that you died with him. And what are you doing? Letting the things that have been dealt with speak to you. Why are you letting them determine who you are? Why are you letting them destroy your mind from realizing that you're righteous when you give your life to Jesus? Now, you're not righteous because you're perfect. You're righteous as a gift. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So he's saying here that God's kingdom isn't external. It's not what you look at, the food and the drink, and what are you drinking, what are you eating, what are you smoking, what are you chewing, what are you dropping, what are you... No. It's not the external world. The kingdom of God is not the external world. It says, but it is righteousness, which is an internal thing. It's peace, which is an internal thing. And it's joy, which is an internal thing. Now let's talk about righteousness. The Bible says in Romans 5:17, for if by the trespass of one man, meaning Adam, death reigned through that one man, Adam, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness? Notice that. The gift of righteousness are going to reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Herein, listen to me close. I'm going to give you three words that are the absolute foundation of a mind that is at peace. I'm going to give you three words that will heal physical bodies, mental illnesses. I'm going to give you three words that are at the very core of why the kingdom of God is so potent, so powerful, so amazing, and why so many people miss it. The kingdom of God. Jesus said, don't look around thinking, where's his kingdom? He said, the kingdom is within you. When life is going south and things are going bad, you can have a peace that passes understanding. But the very first word that it uses about God's kingdom is righteousness. In other words, you are in right standing between you and God. And it's not because your behavior is perfect. It's not because you got control of that crazy mind of yours yet. But it's because it was given to you as a gift. You are righteous. You are in God's family. You have access to God's promises. You have his forgiveness. You have his love. You have everything. So you are now a part of God's family and you are righteous. Now here's the issue. Very few people believe it. Most, you know, that they say that Back to the Bible did a study of Christians and found that the same percentage of Christians struggle as the same percentage of people in the world. Same percentage of people who are struggling with depression. Same percentage of people struggling with addictions. Same percentage of people struggling with lying, stealing. That it's the same percentage. Whatever the percentage is in the world, it's the same percentage in the church. In other words, their Christianity hasn't done anything for them. Having Jesus in their heart hasn't changed anything. And it looked really dismal, but as I kept going through the study, it was a huge study, then it came to a place where there was a group of people that the stats plunged from 50% divorces, 20% who lie and cheat on work and exam, to literally a negligible percentage. It just, the whole graph went boom, right down. And these people had none of these problems in those high percentages. And it was people who spent at least four times a week meditating in God's word. And it had to be not a careless read, it had to be a meditative process. You see, at the heart level, your identity is right here. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to show you a graph. If they've got it, would they put it on the screen for me really quickly? All right, let's take a look at this. This is you. This is the components that make up you. On the far left, you are a spirit. You have a soul. Now, everyone mixes up soul and spirit. You know, the world doesn't know what the difference is. Only the Bible really divides up the human being the way God designed them. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Let's call that your mind, just for simplicity's sake. You have a mind and you live in a body. Now, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, your spirit man is filled with Jesus, filled with his power, filled with his peace, filled with his righteousness, filled with his joy, filled with more power, the very power that spoke the universe into existence now lives within you. Now then, you've got a mind that you've got to deal with, because it says in Romans 12, you've got to take this mind and you've got to renew it. Because your spirit's got everything, But your mind is not in agreement. It still thinks that we're losers, that we're sinners, that we're addicts, that we got all these stories about us, that our identity is still, and our identity comes from our spirit, where our nature comes from. You don't have two natures, the nature of God that's righteous and the nature of sin, and the two are fighting each other. Sin, 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 sin. Be good, be good, be good. No. Your nature as a Christian is 100% you are righteous. No longer is there fear in sin in your spirit. So any sin, any temptation, anything you want to quit, all the power you need is in your spirit to say no. Sin no longer has dominion over you. Over who? Over the man whose spirit, the woman whose spirit is born again, and you've renewed your mind with God's word. Because it's no problem to say no to something that you could never say no to before. Alcohol, sexuality, I mean, whatever the addiction, whatever the thing that so easily destroyed you, your spirit man has all the power that you need. Now, I haven't got time to teach on this, but when you look at the heart, that heart, which is the center of our being, is actually a valve between your spirit, your mind, and your body. And as you renew your mind with the word of God, and it comes in agreement with your spirit, it's like the Bible says, the crooked heart or a froward heart becomes straight, which means all of a sudden that pipe opens up and the presence of God begins to flow into your mind. His peace, his joy, his healing, this awareness of him, this experiencing him. And very few people will do the heart work. They won't establish their heart in grace. They won't establish their heart in God's word. They give their lives to Christ, and in their spirit, man, that's where your nature is. That's where the true you is. You are born again. You're a believer. God is on the inside of you. You're adopted into his family. You have more authority and more power than anything walking the planet. No sin, no animal, no demon from hell, nothing has more power or authority than you because Jesus is within you. But now you've got to make your body a living sacrifice. You've got to renew your mind with God's word. So you have to realize, and I want to go there and I can't. I got to finish this message. Righteousness is a gift. When you accept your life, when you give Jesus your heart, you are righteous. This is your new identity. If you do not renew your mind to, I'm righteous. I'm not perfect in behavior, but I'm righteous. And that righteousness gives me the power to change my behavior, but I'm righteous. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I'm a righteous person who has power over sin. And as you believe that, something unique takes place within you. This new identity becomes, I am. Now, if you do not renew your mind with the word, you will struggle with the rest of your life, knowing that Jesus, okay, is in you and that you've got the power to change, but you can't get it to work. You can't even get your own mind to be at peace. And you will struggle with all the fears, the rejections. You'll struggle with all the junk the world struggles with, you will still struggle with it because this amazing God who's within you, because you've asked him to come in and forgive you, is there. This new you, you hang on to the old you. Pick up your cross. What does that mean? Die to every version of the old you. Pick up your cross. Die to every flaw that you used to have. Pick up your cross means stop looking at your identity as being your problem. Just because I tripped on the way up the steps doesn't mean I'm Leon the Tripper. What's my identity? Well, I trip, so I'm the Tripper. No. Just because you threw up on the way to church, maybe you're fighting a cold or something, and you're still here, you're Bobby the Throw-Upper. That's your identity. No. No. Your behavior is not your identity. Your identity is at the very core of your spirit. And you must begin to believe that. And when you begin to believe it, that righteousness, which is a gift, then you begin to experience peace. The Bible says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace. Let's stop right at peace for a minute. Peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, the peace I leave with you. My peace, not the world's peace, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Because of the peace of Jesus that resides in your spirit, you have to make a choice to not be troubled. It's a choice. When someone goes, I'm just confused, I can't do anything, but they're born again, I know they have not begun to change their identity. Instead, they struggle the same old battles. Peace is a gift from Jesus that is within you, that you need to believe, and then you'll experience it. It's a peace that doesn't come from the outside. This righteousness is internal. This peace is internal. And this peace, this righteousness, will heal a physical body. The word peace in the Greek is similar to the word peace in the Hebrew, which is shalom, which when this peace comes, all blessing, all healing, healing of body, healing of mind, healing of whatever, it all comes through this peace. But this peace can't come until you believe that you're righteous, until you see that as your identity. And if you do not do this, listen to me, if you do not do this, you will struggle. And this world and all of its junk will own you. Now, when you die, you're going to heaven, thank God. That's why the early church, not the early churches, but many of the denominations and the generations before us developed a teaching that said, you know, one day I'm going to go to heaven, thank God, and get out of this world of woe. That's actually not what the Bible's teaching. The Bible is teaching the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It is here, and you can benefit from the kingdom right now, that this righteousness is yours, but you must get established in your heart. There's a peace that passes understanding, that when Jesus is sleeping in a boat, and the storms are freaking out fishermen, he wakes up and goes, oh, what's with you guys? Peace be still. And he just calms the whole thing down. This peace, that when you're in the midst of financial crises, relational crises, physical crises, mental crises, the words that we use today as though everyone has to deal with stress. Well, it depends what you mean by that. If you mean you live stressed, absolutely not. If you mean stress is always rising up, of course. But the Bible says you can live in peace. But I don't notice an awful lot of Christians who get into God's Word, listen to messages like this over and over, to begin to put off the old you and every version of the old you, and to put on the new, which is Christ died for me. Sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, I've never seen you out of peace. Now, of course I am. I've never seen you lose your joy. What's your key? Well, it certainly isn't me. But it's literally going to my new identity and every day reminding myself, Leon, pick up your cross. What does that mean? Pick up my problem and just save it and own it? No, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not faith in Leon. Not faith in his ability to live perfectly. Not faith in his ability to just be such an amazing guy. No, I look to Jesus as my righteousness. And all of a sudden, your identity changes. Peace begins to rise up in you. And you begin to realize, I have peace. I refuse now to let it go. Then it says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This joy, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. When's the last time you laughed? When's the last time you belly laughed? When's the last time that you just walk in, it's so good, and just, the Bible says, laughter doeth good like a medicine. The Bible says joy should be coming out of you. Why do we become believers and we kind of just live in this, well, you know, I'm here, I'm existing, and I'm an overcomer. No. Then you should be at peace. Then you should be laughing and enjoying life and job and career and marriage and family and all that's ahead of you. Yes, there's challenges. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Psalms 100, it says, make a joyful noise. It doesn't say, do you feel joy? Then make a joyful noise. It says, it commands you, make a joyful noise. What does that mean? Choose to laugh. Choose to sing. Choose to rejoice. Choose to get up and say, I'm going to play football with my kids. I'm going to play Barbies with my little girl. I'm going to go. I'm going to be joyful for my wife. I choose joy. What was the land? That's faking it. No, it's not, because joy is in you. Peace is in you. Righteousness is in you. And if you don't begin to focus on this new righteousness, this new identity, you'll never know and experience the peace. You'll never know this joy. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. It talks about enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. The only people I know who stay joyful are people who stay thankful. Please be thankful everywhere you go. Thank you for looking after my child. Thank you for parking my car. Thank you for that message. Thank you for the worship and praise. Thank you for looking after my teenagers. Thank you, honey, you married me. Like, this thanksgiving is a powerful thing. And the Bible says it endures for generations. That when you get your identity from God's word and you renew your mind with it, and your kids will have a much easier time there with their identity as an overcomer. I'm righteous. I'm at peace. I'm at joy because of Jesus. Even when things look bad, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 says, though the fig tree does not bud, there's no grapes on the vines, the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food, there's no sheep in the pen, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful. It doesn't say you feel like it. It doesn't say you've got it. It says the word will. It is my will. I will rejoice. I will be joyful. And it says the sovereign Lord is my strength. It is saying here that I need strength. Pursue joy. Just be joyful. Well, no, I need strength first. No, you pursue joy first. Focus on joy. Recognize that righteousness is your identity. It's basically you are a child of the King. You are righteous before God because of what Jesus has done. This brings a peace. This brings a joy. And it is your right to live in joy. It is your right to live in peace. But it's not going to be, well, I'm just waiting, Leon. I'm waiting for the joy. No, no, no. It says, be it. Be it. Get up and do the things that are joyful living. Get up and choose peace. As you begin to recognize that this pick up your cross doesn't mean just hang in there, sucker. Just put up with the pain, the heartache, and the hurt. Yeah, it's your cross to bear. Yeah, just bear it and smile. Everybody else has got one. That is such a wrong definition. Pick up your cross means pick it up and recognize the old Leon is dead. The flawed Leon is dead. That sinful Leon is dead. That Leon that can't stop sinning is dead. And this new Leon doesn't have fear or sin in his spirit. He has peace, joy, righteousness, faith. It's Jesus that is in my spirit. Now as I renew my mind, as I get my heart established in grace and in his word, it's all about your identity. There are some of you here today, you don't know which way to turn. You don't know what to do. You've tried everything under the sun to deal with your problems. When you deal with your problems externally, it just doesn't work. But when you deal with yourself internally, everything you are begins to radiate into everything that you have and everywhere you go and everything that you put your hand to. Why? Because internally you are righteous, you believe it, you experience it. You are peaceful, the peace of Jesus. You believe it, you experience it. If we do not grasp this and teach this to our teens, you watch these teenagers up here and this peace and their ability to get on stage, and man, their teenagers need to know they're righteous because the enemy will attack their mind. You're a lion dog. You know, and all these new desires rise up and sexuality and hormones. I'm telling you, teenagers, they just are attacked like you're evil, you're dirty, you're yuck, you're this, you're that. It's all attacking their identity. If you want teenagers to serve God, get them out to youth group. Bring them out to church so they can know who they are. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter where the failure was. It doesn't matter where the trip was. It doesn't make you a tripper. It doesn't make you a puker. It's not your identity. It's something that happened in your behavior. Now get back to your identity as to who you are. When you begin to focus on your identity, you begin to release His joy, His peace, His strength, everything that you need to get up and to be who you are. Identity is always before behavior. You cannot have behavior before identity. You cannot change someone's behavior until you change their nature. My dad always said you can grab a pig, wash him up, put a bow in his hair, and the second you let him go, he's running right back into the mud. Because you can change him externally, but you can't change him internally. So we must recognize that Jesus has changed our very nature. He has changed who we are. And that as you recognize that and believe that, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I talk to Christians all the time, and they'll say, oh man, it's so hard serving God. And I'm going, dude, you ought to try the world if you think this is hard. How is His yoke easy and His burden light? When you understand that in His kingdom, it is righteousness, peace, and joy. If you believe the lies of religion, that you're just a poor little sinner, just, you know, barely getting by, pick up your cross and suffer, sucker. The world's one great big wart. It's just a lot of pain and struggle. You believe that out of your identity. When Jesus walked the planet, He didn't suffer till He went to the cross. If He needed food, He multiplied baskets. If there were storms blowing, He stopped the storm. If friends were sick, He healed the friends. You don't see Jesus suffering anywhere in His life until He went to the cross and took our suffering for us. Our identity, who are you? If you do not deal with this issue about picking up your cross means die to the old you, every version of the old you, who the coach said you were, your uncle said you're the black sheep of the family, your coach said you're the most likely to fail, your mom threw up her hands and I quit, I don't know how to change you, you've watched TV shows that just kept confirming you're the black, you're the dark, you're the dark side, and you just kept believing all this stuff. Now you've given your life to Jesus Christ, now what do you got to do? Die to every version of you that you've believed. Because if you don't, it'll own you. Believer or not, it'll own you. Pick up your cross. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful phrase. Pick up your cross because you are crucified with Christ. It is Jesus that died in your place. And this life that you get to live is you're living the best because of what Jesus has done for you. Father, I pray that this would sink deep to the very psyche, the very heart of every person listening. That person struggling with that secret sin. That person dealing, Father, with the self-worth. That person struggling for their emotional health. Father, I just pray right now that this message will be something they'll listen to over and over and over until they know who they are. Let peace and joy reign in their life. And Father, if they don't know You, let today be the first day of this new life. With every head bowed for just a moment, I want to close my message down in a powerful prayer. A prayer of getting right with Jesus, inviting Him into your life so that the old nature of fear and sin is gone and a new nature of love, faith, peace, Jesus comes inside of you. If you've not made that decision, I'm going to lead everybody in this prayer right from their seats. But if you would say to me, Leon, include me in this prayer, then just you folks open your eyes and all across the auditorium, just quickly right now, wave your hand at me and say, yes, include me, then put it right back down when I see it. Thank you, thank you. Others, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Others, give me a wave. Put it, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Others, ushers are helping me see things, see them, but those who are watching right now on the big screens in the other campuses, there's a leader at the front. Just wave a hand at them. You know, I need to give my life to Christ. He's going to come in. I'm going to have a whole new identity, a whole new nature. Quickly, wave your hand. I'm going to wait 3 seconds, and then we're all going to pray. Let's all pray now with these amazing folks who are making a wise decision. The prayer goes like this. Let's all pray it out loud, confidently. Say, God, Thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place, who paid every price for me to be in your family and to be righteous. So Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I'm following you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.